So I says to myself, I says.
And another thing.
35 years, I says.
I always loved the I says to myself, I says.
Yeah. I'm going to work it in the interview.
There's a lot of that.
Along with holy plops.
Holy plops. How about Good Lord and Butter?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Who here was in the top 10 episodes podcast ever?
I think there's a battle right now.
Steph.
I was.
And Josh Osterman's coming on strong, though. Look out.
Actually, fun fact, Courtney's Deep Dive to Stephen's Point is currently beating his pizza episode.
Wow. Oh.
And they're battling.
And Josh.
Oh. Yeah.
I told him those stats yesterday, and he just sent me an email back that said, I might throw up.
He told me he was not happy. He said he calls every day for metrics.
I just had a little puke burp. So that made me
perfect.
A verb?
I don't know what that even is.
Boy.
No, we got to start the show, y'all.
I'm ready. I've been ready.
This is it, Rick.
You're the one stretching me.
I just along for the ride.
You guys, Susan, I want you to know that when Rick and I hosted together, they wouldn't let us drink caffeine.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And then I'm on the way here. She says, makeup. Can you go through the Starbucks and get us some coffee?
Makeup.
Wait, Stephanie, I have a question. So last time you were here, okay, you created an entire new persona for Audio Dave to become
Audio
Disco Dave.
Mm-hmm.
You sang a brilliant song. We don't actually have a nickname for Jesus yet.
Oh,
I
it's
need
coming.
You to determine that for
she's
us.
She's thinking about mm-hmm. it. I can feel it.
Yep.
She needs to let it simmer.
A theme song, a nickname, everything. But let's do some formal introductions. Welcome to the Cabin Podcast, the official podcast of Discover Wisconsin. I'm Susan Foch.
I'm Eric Paulson.
I'm Stephanie Klett.
Jump right in there,
Steph.
I'm following Robert's rules here. There's order and decorum.
Well, and I thought it was ladies first.
Oh.
So when Susan went, I thought, and then I thought age. Before beauty, so I should
there
have
we go.
Gone first.
Why not?
Could we start over?
Before we actually dive into today's episode, let's do some introductions. Welcome back to the Cabin Podcast, the official podcast of Discover Wisconsin. I'm Susan Foch.
I'm Stephanie Klett, the longest serving host of Discover Wisconsin in history.
So wait, who goes next in this Robert's Rules of Order or whatever
you're
talking
about? Well,
now
that the tone has been set of longest hosting, that would be you, Eric. I'm relinquishing
I'm Eric Paulson, the second longest tenured host of Discover Wisconsin.
And I'm Rick Rose, now the third longest running host.
Wow.
So I just surpassed you?
You did. You just passed me up. Susan and I were taking account. And we got Susan with us. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I already introduced myself.
She went first.
Oh.
I already went first. The only person we still have left, Jesus,
on the
ones and twos.
I am at the very bottom of the total pole for hosting. And it's Jesus Reyes.
Okay. That might have been one of our most graceful introductions ever. So welcome. Very fun fact. The cabin is presented by the Wisconsin Counties Association. Eric, do you have some fun facts for us?
A couple for you. This week we're featuring Dunn County, which was named for Charles Dunn, the first Chief Justice of Wisconsin Territory. Founded in 1854, carved out of Chippewa County, actually. It was organized 3 years later, so they were very disorganized for a three-year period. Within the county, you have Menominee, of course, the county seat. We just released a bonus podcast episode all about Menominee just a couple weeks ago.
So beautiful area.
For a nice deep dive
you
in there, you
did.
Can check it out. Yeah, another beautiful thing just south of Menominee is the Devil's Punch Bowl.
I love the Devil's Punch Bowl. It is cool.
Beautiful preserve, two trails wind through there, and it's one of the most Instagrammable spots, not only in the county, but probably the state.
I would agree with that. And, you know, Menominee, of course, has the Red Cedar State Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And in the winter, they have the Blue Ice Wall. And when we filmed there, it was Rick and I many years
this.
Ago. It was 20 below zero plus a wind chill. And so we're cross-country skiing by candlelight with this cool ice wall. We got into the restaurant, and I look over at Rick, and he's actually crying because he's so cold, he can't feel anything. And it was awesome to see. That was my second
was
favorite,
awesome
minus when Rick in the North Woods actually fell asleep standing up.
Doing an
so
on-cam.
He does it all the time.
I would do an on-cam. Yeah. I still do it. Yeah. It's, Steph, I do have narcolepsy.
You do not.
No, I don't, and thank God. You know, but yeah, I remember, I had just moved back from L.A. to assume, you know, my father, we got to get back to the agenda mm-hmm. here,
yeah.
But my dad had started the show, he passed away, I came back, got to host with Steph, and that's my excuse, I'm, you know, my blood had changed over those years.
Oh,
came
you were
back
just
for the
tired.
Cold.
Yes. He was tired.
You were just tired.
Mm-hmm. Just,
either way, 20 below is cold. When you start crying and it freezes on your face right away, that's
all
an
been
invitation
through that. Yes.
To be inside. Yeah. Conveniently located smack dab between the Minneapolis-St. Paul and Eau Claire Chippewa Falls metro areas, its location is fantastic for anybody who wants quick access to anywhere. Breweries include Nonic, Lucette, and Zymergy. I always have to shout those out. And the little town of Colfax near there was named for Schuyler Colfax.
Yes.
Probably the coolest vice president name we ever had. He was the VP under Grant back in the 1800s. So there you go.
I love it. It's a great area for history. Mm-hmm. If you're an outdoors lover, it's perfect. And you know what I love is it's got this down-home, gorgeous feel. And then in an hour, you're in Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
Yeah, yep. You have great access to so many places from there. And that's why a lot of companies locate there, and a lot of people love living. If some people work in Minneapolis and their spouse is in Eau Claire, they live in Menominee and they live the good life there. It's good.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is perfect. And the cabin is also presented to you by Jolly Good Soda.
Yay!
But this time, yes, we love Jolly Good. But this time we have something a little different for you. Instead of our traditional can crack, we actually have an interview with Nicole Depius from Jolly Good Soda. Nice. So why don't we hop over and listen to what Nicole has to say? We are being joined by the marketing manager for Jolly Good Soda, Nicole Depius. So my main question to you, we've been doing Jolly Good can cracks. We've been talking about like the flavors where they're available for probably a year now, but let's dive in. I want to talk to you about the fact that Jolly Good is actually an older soda that was an older brand and then it made a huge big comeback, but you guys have kept like the nostalgia alive for Jolly Good. So I want to hear about that journey.
Sure. So I don't know if many people kind of know how Jolly Good came to be. But it really was established by our parent company, Career Foods, back in roughly 1966. So end of 60s, early 70s, when there was some downtime in vegetable canning. So they kind of tried to figure out how to fill the downtime and the void for the employees during those off seasons. And so Jolly Good was born. So fast forward all the way, we've had some can changes, some, you know, graphic changes, but really it's essentially the same good soda that's been coming to you since early 70s.
I actually did not know it was because there was a chill time in vegetable canning. That's hilarious. But I feel like you guys have also just kept such a nod to the original soda from the late 60s, early 70s. And I feel like Jolly Good has really kept a lot of that nostalgic piece to it. And so from a marketing standpoint, like how did that decision come to be instead of making it this like modern looking can and brand and everything?
I think that's just kind of what everybody talks about when they talk about Jolly Good. It's the conversation always is surrounded by, I remember when. I remember drinking it at my grandma's house. I remember it in the cooler at camping trips. So it really just made it simple. It wasn't a hard decision for us to want to continue to remember the good times, right? So that's, it's kind of just paved the way for itself in terms of marketing.
Yeah, I love that. Obviously, we are huge fans of Jolly Good Soda here in the cabin. Obviously, and listeners know they are available in 6 and 12 packs in select locations, but also just make sure that you talk to your store manager if they're not carrying it so that you can get more Jolly Good goodness. And where can people follow along for more updates and fun social media posts, Nicole?
You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all those fun places, and jollygoodsoda.com.
Wait a second. Jolly Good has a TikTok?
Oh, yes, we have a TikTok.
Okay, I have not been promoting that. So listeners, go hop on TikTok and follow them at Jolly Good Soda. So thank you so much for joining us, Nicole.
Thank you for having me.
Isn't she fun, you guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
We love Nicole and we love Jolly Good Soda, but we've got
you
a
love
very
everything,
exciting...
Susan.
And Susan, I do love everything.
Oh, no. Susan, I am a big fan. The Jolly Good Diet Grape and the Diet Cream Soda are the greatest. I love them.
Oh, those are your favorites?
I get them every week.
Well,
love that.
Jesus is a huge convert to the Diet Sour Power.
Yeah, Sour Power is pretty solid. Like, I will drink Sour Power even when I'm not recording the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. And it makes a great old fashioned.
Diet really good, too.
Yes. What?
The root beer is good.
All their flavors are
love
amazing.
That. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I love, we've learned this before. You can put all those on ice cream and make each of those a different flavored float.
Oh, how fun.
Oh, I like it.
Colors we did that in an episode.
Ooh. Yeah, I like it.
We should actually make a real episode about that. Anyway, we've got an exciting conversation to get to, so hit that fire, Jesus. All right, cabin listeners. So you've already heard them. We have some vivacious people joining us today. And I have actually a very important question to start with for both of you. Well, I guess all three of you, Stephanie, Rick, and Eric, as the three longest running hosts of the show. Can you believe that we're celebrating the 35th anniversary of Discover Wisconsin this year?
It's incredible.
You really can't believe it. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
And for folks who, you know, who don't know how it started with Rick's dad, Dick Rose, and in 1987. I met Dick in 1992 when I was competing in Miss America. Rick was out in Los Angeles, and he saw me compete. Rick and I met at Beloit College, and he called his dad and said, "You have to call on Stephanie Klett to help you promote Wisconsin." And we met, and I had a small production company myself that was doing that was going around the Midwest, and so he was already doing what I was trying to get up and running, and so I joined him, and so from 1992. Until 2011, when the governor picked me for Secretary of Tourism, I was blessed to be part of Discover Wisconsin. What an adventure. What a state we live in. You're spoiled here. Every part of the state is radically different. You know, whether it's the unglaciated area, whether it's the top of our state with the Apostle Islands, Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, Mississippi, the Kickapoo, it's like a ninja river, one of the crookedest rivers in the world. We're just spoiled rotten here, except the people don't have an attitude of being spoiled. They're the kindest, most humble people in the world.
Ooh, well stated. Yeah, for sure. It's quite
a
journey.
That's our new tagline.
Yeah, I like it. Well, you know, I was fortunate. I had referenced earlier that my dad, unfortunately, got ill after 3 or 4 years of hosting the show. So that year was special to me because I came back from L.A. virtually overnight to take over the hosting chores. And if you remember, Steph, you and my dad did the opening of the Russ County episode. And you and I did the closing of the episode, which was appropriate since we share the same name.
Yeah.
But and then, boy, guys, it was 9 years of my life. Put on your seatbelt. You're with Klett. Woo! It was a ride.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting because we're so proud of what you're doing today and watching that. And, Rick, you're still part of things. And for me, you know, I'll guest host a show or two a year. But where you have come makes me proud every time I watch the show. And, you know, when Rick and I were hosting and when I was hosting with your dad and even the 10 years I was on my own, we didn't have this thing called social media. So we had to build the show by going place to place, county by county. I would drive from Beloit to Superior through a blizzard to speak to 20 people about Discover Wisconsin in the basement of a church. And so to see it today, just my heart grows 10 sizes. Because if someone is living in Wisconsin and you don't like it, it means there is no love in your heart. Because you have to love it here.
Yeah, I moved from Chicago, and so saying hello to people on the street was brand new to me. And from there, it just got, you know, nicer and nicer. People really do treat you like neighbors. Meeting people in Wisconsin is almost like listening to this podcast. They will give you their laundry list of places you need to check out, beautiful places to go and hike, and breweries and all the things that there is to do here.
Well, you know what? You bring up a good point because, you know, when you watch Discover Wisconsin, I think two things happen. One, you see an area you've never been to and you're inspired to go there. But two, I get equally as excited, Eric, when you're in a place I've been to 10 times, but I like to see it from your point
perspective.
Of view.
Yeah,
well, yes. Different takes. And that's the, you know, you think about this show being on for 35 years and you're like, well, Wisconsin's, it's what, the 20th largest state in the country. We're not, you know, we're not like Texas or, we have to go back to places more than once.
That's right.
And but the fact is, a lot of these places are developing and changing differently. Beloit's an incredible example.
Yep.
With what's been going on there lately.
The evolution the last decade. If you haven't been to Beloit in the last decade, you will come downtown and your mouth will drop open.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be stunned.
It's phenomenal. And even it's different from last year because now you've got the Skycart playing at a brand new baseball stadium.
It's awesome.
Literally a stone's throw from Illinois.
It is crazy.
Literally.
That's the cool thing about 35 years of history. And Steph had referenced that I'm still involved in the company. And that is really moving it from beyond a broadcast model to a streaming model, which allows us to have an archive out there that people can go back and look at the first Beloit episode, second, third, fourth, like you said, different hosts, different perspectives. It's really great that mm-hmm. you can see that chronology. And if you haven't downloaded our app, please do. We have the mobile app on both platforms, but there's a throwback list. So you get to see Steph wearing a skipper hat when we did Superior.
Oh, my God.
They used to make us play these roles.
I need to apologize for very bad
for
fashion
two seasons,
choices.
Yes.
And plus, I was coming off of Miss America, and it's the early 90s, so it was big hair, shoulder pads, very bushy eyebrows.
Oh, you need to see this.
And yeah, I wore a lot of hats.
Yeah, a lot of hats. Like, I don't know, when you and Mariah hosted, did you have to wait a long time for Mariah to be camera ready or not? Because
no, she was pretty good and quick about that, but she'd been in pageants. She knows how to get herself ready and prepped and everything like that. And for me, it was more like, all right, how many chins today? 1.5, let's go.
Steph will tell you. I loved it because it took Steph a little longer.
Oh, can you stop it? It did not
It took you way longer than I.
Well, I'm a gal. I got to do my hair. A shower, you're ready.
Yeah, and I loved
That's it.
That's it. I would get up like 5 minutes before we started, so I had that extra time. And it made me feel so good to know it was taking Steph longer. Like,
you know
her
what?
Day was longer than mine. I loved it.
Do you see what I dealt with? Yes.
Oh, I know.
Rude. But this is okay. So this is a good point, though. So, Rick, because you do still work for the company, can you do me a favor and take our listeners through kind of the timeline, the journey of Discover Wisconsin and all of the adaptations that it has seen throughout 35 years? Like, for example, even, you know, the recent adaptation of going from broadcast.
Yeah, I love
to streaming,
that. Let's focus on radio real quick. Well, let's do it in chronology and then I'll speak to radio because Steph was a huge part of DW Radio, having written it and hosted it for many years.
And I had to build the affiliate list.
Yes.
Too.
Yep. Yeah. You know, and
door to door.
That was all part of it. I mean, any of us that are with the company that have the privilege to be paid to go on vacation or write about cool spots or do great audio for it, you know, we are blessed, but we also are hardworking. Let me just say, it's a lot of work and we're all creative minds. And that's what I love. So to your point, Susan, none of this came just because we had to do it. It came because someone had an inspiration to do it, right? Mariah, who was here, give her great credit, launched the podcast. She's like, the time is right. Let's do it. Ownership said, let's go for it. Then Susan took the ball from Mariah when she left. Susan was just a producer, right? Mm-hmm. You'd hear her once in a while. Now she's like equally co-hosting.
Yay.
Because that's where she wanted to be and what she wanted to do. So in a nutshell, the journey, it started in a fishing boat. We all know that story with my dad 35 years ago now. Now I get chills when I think about the context that this is just not our founder or former host we're talking about. This is my dad. And it really gives me a moment to go, I needed that moment, by the way. So thank you for that, Susan. I was like, 10 years old then? Well, maybe 20. But I was young then, and seeing it all come to fruition was great. The moment Steph referred to was a milestone. And then me coming in, that leads you kind of to where it is. And at that time, we had Peter Dake. Remember Peter?
We did. Peter from Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls.
He was doing the radio show. He eventually left, and we decided, Susan, to merge it as DW TV and radio. So it was like a package deal. That happened. Another incarnation, I know when Mariah came on board, people may not know, she was really brought on just to do PR, to build social media presence, which we didn't have. She was able to take that, and with time, she was able to parlay that into many, many facets. We've tried every platform, Susan, as you know, being on our digital team. We've tried TikTok, and you can still follow us on TikTok, where we have the current Miss Volunteer America hosting that. You can follow us on any social media platform, Pinterest, if you want a different approach to it. So that's really the growth. We're sitting here today. We've diversified. We're bigger. We want to reach anybody wherever they are, you know, whenever they want to join into the conversation. So,
you know, but what I like about Discover Wisconsin is no matter how tech savvy and evolutionary it's got, it is
still
always about two things.
Yeah.
The people and the place. And as long as you focus on those two things, you're going to have a great show.
Well, and on top of that, you have the story. And a lot of stories get shared in this show. And when we interview people in the towns and they'll share the story, history of the town or something unique about it. And that's when people really connect and want to come there and check it out.
Yeah, you're so right. I'll tell you a quick story, a little aside, and Steph knows it's a poignant moment of sitting in these chairs or car seats that we do. We were in Manitowoc. We were done shooting. We sat at a countertop at a restaurant, and this nun came in. Well, we saw them preparing all these to-go boxes, like 50 to-go boxes. And Steph and I are like, is there that many people living in Manitowoc? Where is this food going? And this nun came in, picked them up. They loaded them in the car. She left, and Steph curiously said, what's going on? Who's having that lunch, and who is this nun? And he goes, quick. The owner said, quick, hop in your car and follow them. And we did. Do you want to take the story from here?
Sure. So literally, they're called the Two Sisters from Two Rivers because, of course, Manitowoc and Two Rivers. And they operate a group home. And the owner of the restaurant did say, go follow them. And he said, I'll call them and let you know they're coming. And I said, well, you know, we can't film it for the episode because the episode was very specific to Vacation Things. Sure. He said, trust me, you'll never forget it. So we go to the group home, and these two sisters from Two Rivers, Sister Mary Edmund and Sister Mary Ermina, answer the door. And they're both 80 years old at the time. And one of them is 80 and looks 40. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have a wrinkle, that beautiful porcelain skin. And the other was 80 and looked 120. You know what I mean? Her fingernails, everything was wrinkled. And I say this because those two were kidding each other about how they look. And so immediately I'm like, okay, these two sisters from Two Rivers are cool. But then they brought us in to see their kids. And their children from newborns until they have to turn them over to the state at 18. That nobody wants. And these are children who can't feed themselves, that can't dress themselves, and they can't speak. And we thought it would be very depressing. They had such life. They were all in a circle in a living room. And they had smiles on their faces. The sisters were reading to them. Every day, 7 days a week, these women bathed them, and even how they had to be bathed because they're wheelchair bound. They have to be lifted up and put in this tub. But these two sisters from Two Rivers did it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And they did it with love and grace. And so we asked them, when do you take a vacation? You know, because this is pretty heavy work. I mean, we're going around, hey, discover Wisconsin. And they said, our last vacation was a decade ago, and we were going to take a week off. We were gone a day, and we said, we need to get back to our kids.
Hmm.
And so those two sisters from Two Rivers showed us the kind of grace that we had a three-hour drive home. We didn't speak. We didn't turn on the radio because you can't, you know, it's easy to think you do good work in this world. But when you see that kind of amazing grace, you never forget it. And we were just quiet. It was an unbelievable thing to see.
Those are all the bonuses, is just learning the people and the spirit of the people. And that created us to launch. We did, back in the day of DW Radio, we did a treasure. Remember, we would honor people that were honoring the spirit of Wisconsin. I missed that. We used to do that.
It was an award called Wisconsin Treasure. So once a month, we would bring an award and shine a spotlight on someone who had done something extraordinary. And so it was everyone from, you know, someone who built a charity from the ground up to a person who served in World War II and was a hero, and no one ever knew it. Mm. But there he was, you know, farming and raising this good family. And so we did the Wisconsin Treasure Award, and we also did something more fun called the Restaurant Pick of the Month Award.
Yeah.
And so it was based on outstanding food service and atmosphere. And so we covered the elegant and opulent and the down-home diners
so
and places in the shape of an igloo and just had a ball with it. So it really was, you know, on the outside, it just like, oh, you guys are having the fun. But it was such a journey that got so deep. And you couldn't stop falling more and more in love with Wisconsin.
And it makes you proud. You've probably been, Eric, you've probably been up to St. Germain, Wisconsin. And outside the Wolf Pack, it says, winner of Discover Wisconsin Radio Restaurant of the Month.
Yeah.
And they're still proud of it. It's printed on their menus. This was like 30 years
ago. And the plaque's still up. My friend was there last week and sent me a picture of the plaque.
That's amazing. Thanks, Kathy and Joe. We appreciate that.
Yes, they're awesome.
And yeah, even when it's a selected destination, you know, for going back years and years, they keep those signs up too and everything.
That's so cool.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That they're
a choice destination. Yep. Yes.
You bet.
I do have a story that it kind of echoes off of that I think will touch particularly the three of you. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the Wisconsin Broadcasting Awards banquet in Madison, and I was talking to a gentleman who like runs one of the radio stations up in Green Bay. And we got to talking and he asked me what I did. And I was describing, I was like, oh, you know, I actually work for Discover Wisconsin. And he got very excited. He's like the TV show. And I was like, yeah, like the TV show. And he goes on to tell me that his son is in his 30s. He has Down syndrome. And he was like, Discover Wisconsin is his favorite television show. He's like, every Saturday morning, he's like, we have to put it on. Like, it is his favorite thing to be watching. And it was just one of those very sweet moments to even think, like, for someone who isn't as verbal or, you know, can even really travel that much, like, that is what he loves watching every Saturday morning is Discover Wisconsin. And I thought that was the coolest story.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
I love it.
You know, when you're talking about 35th anniversary, I don't think anyone in this room where our listeners probably thought we were going down this
path. No.
And that's the beauty of it.
Because we didn't know either.
Yeah. You just don't know. You know, I'm fortunate. I still, like Steph said, am with the company. I sit in the front office, see people come and go. My favorite story was this guy came in. He goes, what do you do here? Produce TV, Discover Wisconsin. He goes, oh, my God, you got to see this video. His girlfriend's dog, every time the theme song came out for DW, would run in front of the TV and howl to it. I still have the video. I shared it with Mariah back in the day.
Oh, my God.
So that was his memory of Discover Wisconsin, the dog's favorite TV show.
I love it. We'll take
that. That parlays me into, I think, my next question for you all. So all three of you have to answer. I don't care in what order you go. But if you had to pick just one, what is your favorite episode that you have ever hosted?
I really can't answer that question. And it's not a politically correct answer. Every episode was special. Every single one. And it was like, it's comparing apples and oranges.
Interesting.
Because in my hometown of Beloit, are you kidding me? The pride I felt promoting the place I call home. But you go along the Great River Road, you just fall in love with those 33 communities along 250 miles. The Apostle Islands were so stunning, I cried. The Northern Lights lasted an hour. Door County, forget about it. The night sky, is there anything like it in the lavender farms? And then you get to central Wisconsin and paper country, but they have the most beautiful places, just surprise hits. You know, so for me, like, it's not a politically correct answer. I don't have one. Every episode, there were people that inspired me, that were kind, that gave everything they had to their community and their family, and I just couldn't pick one.
Yeah, it's hard to pick a single one. I mean, I'll say one of my favorites was the Unique Wisconsin Cheeseburgers, because it was certainly one of the most delicious episodes I ever did, and we got a chance to go to 8 different locations across the state. I mean, we went way north, we went way east, all the way south, and did different like little things with different people in those episodes. We did a little mini burger war. We did a bunch of different things. So that was fun. And diners, drive-ins, and dairy bars where we kind of spoofed, did a little bit of Guy Fieri spoof almost.
Yes.
Got to have a lot of
cheese
fun
curd
with that.
Cheese curd episode must have been fun. You did Milwaukee, curd, I think, where I did
We've
Madison.
Done like 3 cheese curd episodes. And
yes.
So I like the ones, and I love going to places and showcasing the places. And increasingly, we've done some themes. And that's been fun, too, like the cheese trifecta, where we had we met with 3 different chefs.
That was cool.
They were either James Beard Award winners or finalists. And
that's such a big deal.
It is.
Right here in Wisconsin.
We have such a great food scene.
We are incredibly fortunate in the culinary sense in this state because we produce so much great food. So, of course, you're going to make great dishes with that food.
Right.
And in cheese is only one of them. You had that at the ready, didn't you?
Is that a sound effect or was that you, Jesus?
Cheese, glorious cheese.
That scared me.
That was me.
I was like, who had the cheese?
That was me from a previous episode. But we've also done like cranberries. Going to Cranfest was a blast.
Oh, it's so fun.
It is. I think any episode.
100,000 people in a town of 300.
Crazy. Yeah.
Consistently. It's just the processes, I think, is interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how is beer made? We have a bourbon episode coming up. We're going to talk about that later on the show. Like, just processes, people like. But taking from where you are, to answer Susan's question, I am very proud of 2 things. One is the post-Rick life. What, you know, what episode? It would be the recently Emmy-nominated one from last year on Turtle Lake.
Ah, Road Trip. Yeah.
I loved it.
RV
and
road
what
trip.
I loved Love about it. It is we were hit with COVID, right? We were doing 26 episodes. Everybody wanted us there. We built this up in the company over the years. And all of a sudden, overnight, no one wanted us there yet. Or they couldn't want us there, right?
Right.
And so you guys buckled up. You got an RV. I loved it because the show opened on the behind-the-scenes folks, like Jess is the writer, Teddy is the shooter. I just love that. And you and Mariah going on an adventure. Harken back to the days, Steph, from my heart. Those were, I joke about a challenging 9 years, but from my heart, we're sitting here today.
Oh, we had a ball.
As best friends. We had so much fun. But to mine, you might know the answer to this. And it's my favorite episode that I was a part of was because of the people. Again, going back to it, you know, we do work with communities. You know,
can I guess it?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's going to be two. It's going to be Polk County.
Stop. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Polk County.
You fell in love with it.
Just
there.
In love.
And Sue Matthews, one of the great wonders of the state.
That's the fun part about our 35th season. We have little snippets from all these people, Susan, over the 35 years, sharing their memories. Sue is one of them. And just seeing her and just like, oh, it just gave me chills how honored she was to be working with us. We were treated like royalty. That's not why I liked it, but it was a really good adventure. Back in the day, we rode in parades. Frederick's Bakery was there. It's kind of what I like is these undiscovered areas, right? You know, born and raised in Wisconsin.
Polk County, too. Sorry to interrupt. But Polk County, there's the town of Luck. And I love driving into Luck because they have a big sign. If you're not in Luck, you're out of luck.
You're out of luck.
You know, but they just have such a sense of humor.
All that fun. And we had a writer on this show. Back in the day, we'd bring people not experienced with Wisconsin to get their perspective. We did a season of that. And remember that? It was Egg Days?
Yes.
One of the cities in Polk County was doing Egg Days. And she was all excited, had written on our script that we're going to try scrambled eggs. We're going to, you know, learn how to Egg Days.
On a farm, you write fresh eggs.
Like, mm-hmm. And Steph and I are like, well, that's really interesting.
Right, egg, okay.
And we show up, it was Agriculture Days.
Egg.
Oh, Egg Days.
So, in California, they don't abbreviate like we do with Egg Days. So
but
we're like,
we were already, we'd worked on focus. These egg jokes.
We had it all down, didn't
we? We're going to go, but it was egg.
Egg. Oh, so Polk County, definitely. And that's so cool you knew that. What was your second thing?
Stephanie, did you tell any yolks while you were there?
Don't we have a butter bump?
Excellent.
Somewhere in here.
Excellent. Beautiful.
Second would be what, do you think?
Southwest Wisconsin.
Yeah, I did love that.
You were feeding a goat.
Oh, that's
and they were eating out of your hand.
Poignant moment.
And it changed you for a long time because you just fell in love with the animals. And, you know, and that's another thing. Like, I think if you're not raised in a farm, it's so easy to separate, like, where we get our food and animals. It's just, okay, there's a cow, there's a sheep. But when you have the chance to, like, hang out and feed them and watch them, it's transformative, you know?
And tell the woman you're hosting says, oh, yeah, in 2 months this will be a piece of meat. That's his Steph's story. I became a vegetarian and a vegan for 11 years.
Oh, after that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mariah and I actually did an episode with Pagel's Ponderosa.
Oh, great I place. Love that place.
Which God was, rest his soul. Boy, is it hard to, I know, oof,
right?
But it's hard, you know, how to milk the cows, put the automatic milkers on them.
Yes.
Well, they're kind of kicking, but also saying, hey, put those on me.
Yes.
That was an experience. And then we did watch, there was an area where calves were being born. The first one we watched was a stillborn, and that was sad.
Oh.
We watched it happen. Then we saw two new ones get born.
Oh,
and, like,
joyful.
They came out, started walking around. They're like, meh. they put little, you know, the numbers on their ear, like a piercing.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, so then Mariah, this is how our dynamic was. Mariah, was our, you know, lovely female co-host, she went and fed the calves with the little milk bottle nipple. I had to go shovel the manure to show how the system worked that breaks it down for electricity. So
Steph and I always had equality. That I will say.
Yes, he would have had me shoveling.
No.
Oh, my God. That doesn't surprise me at all. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So I want to touch on one thing because I know that we're kind of coming up on time already, if you can believe it. But what was, you know, Rick, maybe you can speak more to this. So for our 35th season, we had a goal. We had a theme, which was you never know who's going to show up. What was a lot of the thought process behind that theme? And, like, what can people be expecting as the rest of the episodes for season 35 keep coming out?
You don't know what you're going to expect. You're right. That's the idea. It's like, so specifically, when we were coming up on the 35th, we thought, okay, we did a book for our 25th about the 25 cool things to do in Wisconsin. Steph did an episode on the 20th, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We did a memory piece. I remember the crew coming down to Quincy, Illinois, where I was on air, and we recorded it. I owned a restaurant at that time across the street, and so I shared my memories. So we've done a book. We've done a special full episode. We've done parties. We actually joined up with Stephanie when Stephanie was Secretary of Tourism and hosted our 30th in Milwaukee during Tourism Week.
That was a blast.
And you and I got to reconnect.
Yes.
I had come home, flew in from Louisiana and all that. So we decided, no, let's just go to the core again, like we're talking here, the people in front of the scenes, the people behind the scenes, the people whose dad watched the show and introduced them, and now they're 35 years old. The story you shared, Susan, about the young man that likes our show. So that's what you're going to see. You're going to see little snippets from hosts to clients to producers to guests that have been on the show. It's fun. It's fun to see all of these memories come back. And if you've been a viewer of the show all those years, or even if you plugged in at year two or year 20, you're going to see some good memories there too.
Well, you know what, Rick, and I just have to do a shout out to your dad, because as you see Discover Wisconsin and being here in the cabin right now, what has been built is enormous, into the whole Rose family, and just for carrying on the legacy. Dick Rose was a muskie guide. He was a fishing guy. And he loved this state. And he was larger than life. You know, I have 9 brothers, and I have a fairly big personality. I was like a wallflower next to Dick Rose. We'd go into a restaurant, and within 5 minutes, he was, and it wouldn't matter if it was down home or a nice restaurant, he'd be standing on top of the table telling a story with a crowd around him. He loved, loved, loved this state and the people. And the fact that this Northwoods fishing guide from St. Germain was able to partner with Governor Tommy Thompson for the first private-public partnership in the state of Wisconsin, and then within 2 years make it totally a private business, yet people in all 72 counties got to have a part of it, is miraculous to me. And I just think of how proud he would be right now.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. Eric, anything you want to chime in there?
How am I supposed to follow that?
I feel like we haven't heard from you a lot this episode. So
I'd follow it with add scene. Yeah. Because that was beautifully stated.
Eric, I will have you kick off this next and our final question then, okay? Which is, what would you like to see? So all three of you will answer this, but we'll start with Eric. What do you want to see happen in the next 35 years of Discover Wisconsin?
Boy, that's a tough one, because when you think about everything that's happened in the past 35, you wouldn't have been able to guess it.
True.
In 1987, who would have guessed, when I was a high schooler in Texas, that we'd be doing social media, like there'd be a channel called YouTube where you could watch clips and full episodes of this show on Wisconsin anytime you want on demand and look at it on your telephone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now called your phone, which you almost never use for phone calls anymore, right? So in the next 35 years, I mean, it's been amazing how creative we've been at coming up with new ways of looking at different places in the state, branching out into different elements and things like that. So I want us to keep telling the story, keep sharing the new developments around the state, do some travel and journeys around the state, and just be able to showcase it with the latest technology. So pretty soon, when people plug the USB port into the chip in their head, they can take a trip anywhere they want in Wisconsin in their mind that we help populate in terms of content, and then they can do it for themselves in their hovercraft.
In their hovercraft.
I love it.
How's that? Is that close?
I love it.
Perfect. Rick, what do you think?
It's a great vision. I'm going to play right off of that, because my new shoes are not being on camera and working with producers and the creative team like Steph and I did. Steph did the promotion. I kind of did the production, and we worked super well as a team that way, besides just being on camera. Now my role is really to look at those new technologies, and I don't do it alone. Nicole Martin, who's been on the show. One thing I love, Susan, that you brought to the table, and this is where I'm headed with this answer, is shining the light on everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just about the three of us sitting here, right? And I love that you did that. Nicole is one of the most creative people who runs the brand with all of you, but also oversees our metrics and where we're headed next. So those ideas.
So sharp on digital. It's
amazing.
Wild.
She's incredible.
Gamification. She is. So I would say you're going to see some gamification going on. You know, what is that going to look like? AR, it's perfect. You know, I can't even say these words. AR, VR? Right?
Like, we're talking about augmented reality.
Augmented.
This is why we have a Jesus.
A good amount of immersion as well.
We're definitely
making our way into that world where we can deliver these experiences, those same sort of emotional reactions that you all have on the road, you know, directly to the people.
I love that. And again, Jesus was someone I found and connected with. It would be awesome. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see that. And then also you're going to see more live streaming. We really want to be live
so
and
cool.
current and see the rawness of us all, right? There's some behind the scenes stuff that you may not know, but it took us 3 times to open the show today, right? Because we make those things that fun. Secondly, before I toss the baton to my dear friend Steph, I would like to see it go beyond just DW this and the podcast this and really start to build out stories of Wisconsin people that have nothing to do with other than the common stuff we were talking about today. We did that with a group of the Mind Influencers, right? Mm-hmm. If you haven't watched them on our DW channel, it's separately produced, two different personalities, but they're a green-friendly family in Wisconsin and how they can be green-friendly and raise a family and do it in Wisconsin. So I'd like to see more of those stories, you know, that don't even involve any of the people that you've come to know and love on the cabin, but real Wisconsin stories that connect around it.
Mm-hmm. I like it. And Susan, absolutely. For me, it's kind of a tie. Number one, because the technical elements interest me 0%. Now, I like technology. Once, you know, someone shows me how to do this, then I'm all in. That's not where I'm built. I'm built with the best thing I think Discover Wisconsin does is it brings and shows joy. There's joy. There's adventure. There's always something new to discover. And the story of people and their surroundings, that's what we've been talking about since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. Their stories never get old. And mm-hmm. in this day and age, the world's very different than when Rick and I first started hosting the show. The level of anger out there, the level of violence is a little bit different around the world. And we're a more global society. So for me, show that joy. Show the good people here.
I am obsessed with all of your answers. All three of you obviously have been sensational hosts of Discover Wisconsin in the last 35 years and amazing conversation on today's podcast. So thank you all for being here.
Thanks, Susan.
Thanks, everybody.
We appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having me, Susan.
Oh, yeah. Well, Eric kind of has to be here. So real quick, let's just talk about this. So in honor of our 35th season, 3 of the episodes are already out. Our first 3 episodes were Wisconsin Art and Culture, Wapaka from the Chain Domain, and Touring Tosa. This Saturday, you'll see coming up, and we actually will have a behind-the-scenes segment coming up later in this episode, but Wisconsin's Bourbon Trail is going to come out this Saturday. There's so much more that you can expect to see in the 35th season. Eric, do you want to kind of tease a little bit of what's coming up in this season?
Lake Geneva.
Geneva.
Well, first, we're going to talk about Quick Trip. No, I
love them. No. I love you can talk about Quick Trip anytime.
An entire episode.
You know what? That would be easy. I get breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I have done that many a time. Their sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich.
Guys, stop.
That's now available 24/7.
With,
so I'm in.
With cheese and the rice cranberry bread for lunch.
Oh, yes. I've seen that sandwich. Yes.
That cranberry bread is good.
It is.
And even with inflation, the smoked string cheese is still $2 for $1. God bless them. So we're doing a deep dive into Quick Trip as an iconic Wisconsin brand.
Oh, I love it.
Previous ones have been Culver's, and we've done a couple of others. Yeah. So this should be a lot of fun. I'll save that for last. A tour of counties with Sheboygan County, Calumet County, and Jefferson County coming up. Fall and winter exploration. In our Chilling Out in Wisconsin episode, we visit Barron, Menominee, which we've talked about with Dunn County today, Land O'Lakes, and Bent's Camp.
Nice.
Just fair warning, I'm in several of those in that episode. Fun time. It was a great time. We're going to head to Hayward and visit the Lake Chippewa Resorts, a visit to one of southern Wisconsin's top destinations. What will that be?
Lake Geneva. Yes.
It's quite the tease. A visit to one of southern Wisconsin's top destinations with the longest running host in Discover Wisconsin's history.
Woo! And just a really nice gal.
And an all around great gal. And because we're going somewhat in chronological order, we'll close out season 35 with a trip to Eagle River, where it all began, really.
It did.
Yeah, St. Germain Eagle River.
And that was the topic of our first episode ever. 500 plus episodes, maybe almost 600 plus episodes ago at this point.
Yeah, it's like 580 something.
Yeah, we're
right?
getting there.
Yeah, can you believe that?
No, I hit 100, 200, and 300. I think I got up to 350.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, so to hear that, close to 600?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
We did the 500 party in Platteville.
Yeah, with your friend Kathy.
Kathy. Yes.
And that was just an absolute blast. So yeah, I mean, it just keeps rolling.
We kind of talked about this earlier with Rick, but you can always download the Discover Wisconsin app on the Google Play Store or the App Store. Search Discover Wisconsin. You can see literally the backlog of everything that we've done. There's some cabin episodes on there. There's Know Your Wisconsins. There's old episodes. There's new episodes. You can also watch the exclusive early debut of any of the upcoming episodes early on the app. So if a new episode is coming out on Saturday, the early exclusive debut will be on a Wednesday. Very exciting. Make sure you download our app. Also, we have some special 35th anniversary swag in our shop. So if you go to shop.discoverwisconsin.com, we created a special pint glass and a throwback sweatshirt. And fun fact, you can always use code CABIN for a discount on anything on the whole website, which is pretty cool.
That's good to know. Write that down, Steph.
Yeah. So we'll put that link in the show notes and the coupon code in there for you. So.
I love it.
Well, there are all my plugs. We are so excited to see the rest of the 35th season. And once again, thank you both for joining us.
Happy anniversary.
All right. Boy, a lot of dynamism in the room when they're here, huh?
So much. It's so great.
Well, they get to go out and enjoy the outdoors right now. We're still cozy in the cabin, but looking forward to the great outdoors on a beautiful golf course. Because the American Family Insurance Championship is coming up, where you can watch PGA Tour champions, including tournament host Steve Stricker, at those championships when they return to the University Ridge Golf Course right here in Madison on Friday, June 10th through Sunday, June 12th. Also, as part of Tournament Week, three-time Country Music Association Vocal Group of the Year and five-time Grammy Award winners Lady A will headline the 2022 American Family Insurance Championship concert on Friday, June 10th at Breeze Stevens Field. Lady A will be joined by special guests Boyz II Men and Edwin McCain. Visit AmFamChampionship.com for tickets. And not to mention, all proceeds from the concert and championship are donated to the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation, which has raised nearly $12.6 million for charity since 2016. So make sure to mark your calendars and grab your tickets for Friday, June 10th through Sunday, June 12th, and get ready for a great day of golf, music, and giving back. Visit AmFamChampionship.com for tickets and more information.
Awesome. I also want to do a quick shout out and a PSA because the cabin is also brought to you in part by Group Health Trust. They are an organization serving local governments and school districts. The WCA Group Health Trust partners closely with members to fulfill their employee health benefit obligations in a fiscally responsible manner. You can always learn more about them by going to WCAGHT.org. And now I think it's a really good time to go behind the scenes. What do you think, Eric?
Let's lift that curtain and do it.
You know what that sound means.
It means we're going behind the scenes.
Well, now the sound is over, so now we already are behind the scenes. Isn't that exciting?
Is that why it looks different in here?
Absolutely, okay. Yes. When you say different, I mean the exact same.
Well, there's somebody different in that chair.
We have Bryce. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Third time now?
I think so.
At least, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Look, we're becoming Bryce super fans really quickly. Look at us go.
I'm collecting all of you one at a time.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're excited. We're here to talk to you about another new upcoming episode you've been working on. And quite frankly, it sounds like it is really right up Eric's line of expertise.
It is. I have experienced most of the places we're going in this episode, but the ones I haven't are on my list.
What episode are we talking about, guys?
This would be an episode focused on Wisconsin bourbon. This is Wisconsin's Bourbon Trail.
Ooh. Yes. Four really good places as a starter.
Yeah, so we're out at Ledge Rock Distillery, which is a newer distillery that's out in Fond du Lac. We visit Central Standard in Eric's neighborhood. We're out in Milwaukee for that.
We'll talk about that part.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're out in Cambridge with Jay Henry. And did I get that back?
Cambridge is Dancing Goat.
Cambridge is Dancing Goat.
See, this is where an edit will be, Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. This is how we do this. No, yeah, Jay Henry's out in Dane. So we went to...
Do you want to restart the whole thing?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Why don't you mark that, Jesus? Mm-hmm. I don't know how, but...
Get it.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, so this is the Wisconsin Bourbon Trail. And so we're out at four different distilleries. We start with Ledge Rock Distillery out in Fond du Lac. We also visited Central Standard Distillery in Eric's neighborhood in Milwaukee.
We'll be talking about that.
Absolutely. We're visited J. Henry out in Dane, Wisconsin. And then finally, we were out in Cambridge to visit Dancing Goat.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Central Standard, a lot of people from this podcast will recognize back from all the way in episode 68, where we did the Spirits of Wisconsin, because that you actually filmed on site with Jim Cantor.
Yeah, that was our
for
first
podcast.
That was our first kind of remote podcast.
Kinda,
I grabbed
sorta.
My equipment and we went to the actual distillery for Central Standard on the near west side of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I had a great time talking with Jim Cantor about his distillery and a bunch of others. I mean, we railed off at least a dozen. And that, including some that are in this Bourbon Trail episode. Mm-hmm. But in this episode, you went to, at the time, Central Standard didn't have their new facility open. Now they do, and that's going to be some good footage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's outstanding. They're really focused on a good food and drink experience. And so we can actually get in and taste some things and see some food and make some cocktails in that segment. So that's really cool.
They did a great job rehabbing an older building that had been sitting pretty much vacant for about 15, 20 years. In downtown Milwaukee, right next to the freeway, right by the Milwaukee Public Market. What they did with that place is phenomenal. From the basement where you can have a wonderful culinary private experience all the way up to the roof where you can party with a bunch of friends and see the city and Lake Michigan and all while quaffing spirits, if you will.
Absolutely. That rooftop is gorgeous, too. We're actually still trying to get back out there to get a roof shot with the Milwaukee skyline because it was snowing the day that we were there.
Yeah, and it was in April.
Yeah.
Yeah. April was a rough month weather-wise. So.
I mean, look, you guys, it started snowing like April 26th. Like, there was like a full like sheet of snow.
Yeah, up in Door County.
It was horrendous. Hated it. Anyway, continue.
Fortunately, we're mostly indoors for all of these, which has been great. We filmed quite a few over the winter months just because we're hanging out in rick houses and out in the distilleries themselves, and all that equipment's kept indoors.
So you went, what's the order in the show?
Oh, we're still placing them. I think we're going to end up starting with Ledge Rock, and I think we'll finish with Dancing Goat, and then J. Henry and Central Standard will be in the middle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Now,
we're in edit right now.
I've seen some clips, including, I got to, now, Andrea is hosting this episode.
Yes, this will be an Andrea Belkey episode.
And she,
however,
she does a great job from the things I've seen so
Absolutely.
Far. But we got a chance to have a little bit of fun together. At Central Standard, the way it worked is, so Andrew is hosting this episode. Believe me, I wanted to. I love bourbon and spirits and such. But Bryce called
you?
Me and he said,
never, not at all.
Susan, it's a secret I've been keeping from you for a long time.
That's what I thought.
You know, I keep my lushness on the DL. But, so Bryce called and he said, hey, I heard you're kind of close to Central Standard Distillery. I'm like, well, my condo's three blocks away. So basically, I show up in the episode having lunch.
Yeah, offered to buy you a little lunch and a drink if you could come and help us out and hang out for a little bit.
So casual.
I couldn't resist.
Really easy bribing.
I couldn't resist trying to be in a little bit more of the episode, but Andrea made sure I wasn't.
What does that mean?
Well, you'll just have to see for yourself in the show.
Perfect.
Not as much menace as he's letting on to.
Okay. See, these are the juicy behind-the-scenes things we love to hear.
I make several appearances very briefly. Yes.
Yeah, we make sure Eric is featured. We have a good bit in the middle. I'm really excited to see that come together. I think it's working real well.
That's going to be hilarious, and I'm excited to see it.
So in this episode, are people, you know, people see where these places are. Do they get to learn a little bit about the process? What all happens here?
Yeah. We're absolutely trying to get into a little bit of how bourbon is made. And each distillery has their own signature. And we're finding that each one has something that's really distinct or unique about them. And so we're trying to highlight and draw that out. But throughout the experience of the episode, we're hoping that people do take a little something away from how bourbon's made, what you can expect when you see a bourbon, and the fact that they're not just all coming from Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, that's, of course, how it was invented. You know, Bourbon County, Kentucky is considered the epicenter of real bourbon. And I'm sure in Kentucky, they'll say, you can't call it bourbon if it's not from down here or whatever.
Exactly.
But, and I've done tours down there. It's phenomenal. But Wisconsin's really coming into its own. This state knows so much about brewing and distilling and winerying, making wine. So, and it's interesting just to see what's happened because craft breweries exploded starting about 10 years ago in the state. Wineries followed shortly thereafter. Now distilleries are opening up all over the place. So this episode is a great entree into the full Wisconsin distillery experience. And so you're really touching on four major ones, but I mean, there's a lot more to explore.
So many. The state is full of craft distilleries, as you're saying, and we really hope this can just be the first of a few Bourbon Trail episodes. We would really like to come back and touch on this again. So if there's other distilleries out there who are interested in being featured, you know, should definitely get in contact with us, because there's plenty more to talk about.
I'll happily take part as well.
Yeah. Imbibe with us.
Go ahead and tell them that you'll only do the episode if Eric is your drinking host.
Eric needs a drink. Let's
absolutely
get Eric to drink.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
You know, a sizable chunk of my drinking is on the show.
Sure. We can say that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm super excited to see this episode. Honestly, I think one thing that is really fun for at least me to see just in the past like year or two, I feel like we keep getting like a little funnier, a little quirkier in all these episodes. So I'm really excited to see it. Where can I watch it, Eric, along with thousands of other Bourbon enthusiasts?
You mean millions, yes.
Millions.
First and foremost, you can watch the exclusive early debut on the Discover Wisconsin app, which hits before anywhere else. And that's available, of course, the app in the App Store or the Google Play Store. Just search Discover Wisconsin. That will begin May 25th. And then after the episode premieres, it'll be on Bally Sports Wisconsin and Bally Sports North in Minnesota and other places.
Minnesota.
That's going to be Saturday, May 28th, Memorial Day weekend. It's a great episode to kick off the holiday weekend that kicks off summer. So again, Bally Sports Wisconsin, 10 a.m. on Saturday. And of course, in your local market, if you're on over-the-air TV, check your local listings. And then once it airs on TV, you can stream it anytime on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, Chromecast, Android TV, Smart TV, and of course, on the Discover Wisconsin YouTube channel.
Nice. Well, Bryce, thank you so much for joining us in the cabin for the third time. Look at you go.
I appreciate you having me. I'm looking forward to next time.
We've had a lot of people coming in and out of the cabin on this episode.
Yeah, we got a WD-40, those hinges.
Yeah, somebody's got a vacuum. Yeah.
Someone get a vacuum in here, too. Perfect. Okay. Well, you know, I don't have a vacuum, but I do have a review that will make you smile because it is literally titled, Always Makes Me Smile.
Aw.
This review came to us through Apple Podcasts by Michigan Keturah?
That's how I'd pronounce
Katrina?
It.
Okay. And it reads, as someone who grew up in Wisconsin but now lives out of state, your podcast always soothes my heart whenever I feel homesick. I love hearing about the wonderful things my home state has to offer, and hearing the Wisconsin accents always puts a smile on my face. We did this the last time.
Yeah.
I don't think that we have accents, you guys.
No.
No, jeez. No. And then it also ends on a very nice note of keep up the good work. But this is the second one about our accents, and I don't think we don't actually talk like this. Cheese and crackers.
I fall into it once in a while with vowels, I've found. Kind of like when I lived in Texas, I'd have a drawl every once in a while. And it comes and whenever I go back for the weekend, a little bit of it comes back. You know, you pick up those things.
I suppose so. I don't know. Should we put this on social media? See who also thinks. Like, should I do a poll? See who really thinks that we have bad accents?
Because you don't. Yeah. You never know. You're not aware of those kinds of things, right? That's kind of what an accent is. It's like that's just how you talk.
The only way you can tell if you have an accent is if you go to another part of the country
else,
and then somebody mocks you for your accent.
Or if somebody comments about your accent through the social media.
If you ask somebody to hand you that bag,
right?
And then they're like, "Oh, hand you that bag," and you're like, "Oh yeah." I guess I have an accent.
Oops.
Okay. And, you know, join us next week, you know, as we get ready to kick off the summer with some of our favorite Wisconsin farmers markets. So join us then, okay? And as we get ready to wind things down, a message here from the All of Us Research Program. Insulin, penicillin, the heart transplant. All of these medical breakthroughs were thanks to research. Research made possible with the help of volunteers. And that's where you come in. The All of Us Research Program is asking for people from across the U.S. to share their unique health information. Because the more data researchers have, the faster they can find the next health breakthrough. But there can be no breakthroughs without research. And there's no research without you. Details at joinallofus.org/discoverWI.
Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by Eric Polson and me, Susan Foch, with guest hosts of Brick Rose and Stephanie Klett. Produced by me and audio engineering by Jesus Rea. It's with video teasers by Quinn Savanak and social media by me and Courtney Haas. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com and don't forget to leave us that review.
And here's this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin.
The pandemic has not only had a toll on our community physically, but also mentally. Thankfully, our state has local services to support us. Wisconsin counties help to provide these services. Jessica Migel, the director of Sauk County Human Services, shares with us about the state of mental health today and resources that are available.
I think a lot of people the past 2 years have really been living in sort of a survival mode, have seen an increase in use of alcohol and other drugs. Individuals using those, I think, to manage the loneliness and the anxiety that they're experiencing. The disruption in work life and family life and school life, like the routines have just been constantly changing and disruptive. And I think there's just some exhaustion that has set in for people. I can certainly say here we've seen a lot of requests for services, and we've seen the highest crisis numbers in a decade. So here at Human Services, we do have both outpatient mental health and substance use therapy that's provided. One of the things I would recommend would be to go to the Sauk County UW Extension website. That website has a resource guide available in both English and Spanish that is very comprehensive.
These services can be found across the state of Wisconsin. Contact your local Human Services office in your county to learn more.
So every county has a human services agency, though in some counties it might be health and human services or social services. For individuals who are uninsured or don't have the financial resources for care, we can offer a sliding fee scale and also very low-cost payment plans for folks. It affects how we make decisions, our relationships, our ability to manage stress. I really believe that one is mentally unhealthy, they really can't be healthy in all the ways that matter. I would tell people to be kind to themselves, to recognize that the last 2 years have been unlike anything most people have known. But there are lots of ways, reconnecting with friends.